Here's our text today, Matthew chapter 9, Matthew the 9th chapter. I'm going to read verses 10 through 13. Now the subject, the Savior of sinners, the Savior of sinners. In Matthew 9, verse 10, the Scripture says, "It came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in the house, having dinner, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and with his disciples. And when the religious leaders, the Pharisees, saw the Master sitting and having dinner with publicans and sinners, they said to his disciples, 'Why does your Master eat and socialize with publicans and sinners?' And when the Lord Jesus Christ heard this, he said to these religious leaders and Pharisees, 'Now listen, they that be whole, they that be well, do not need a physician, but they that are sick, sick people, need physicians. Now you go learn what that means. You go learn what that means. Here is the lesson you need to learn. That I will have mercy. I came to show mercy. I came to save. I came to redeem. I came to forgive. I came to show mercy and not sacrifice, and not receive from you sacrifices and offerings and gifts. I came to give. The Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. I didn't come to receive sacrifices and offerings and service. I came to save. I came to have mercy. I'm not coming to this world, listen, to call the righteous, the religious people. I am come to call sinners to repentance." Now you go learn what that means. I've come to call sinners. Why do I eat with publicans and sinners? Because I've come to call publicans and sinners. Why do I eat with publicans and sinners? Because the well do not need a doctor or a physician. It's sick people that need doctors. Now you go learn what that means. Jesus Christ came into the world, Paul said, to save sinners, of whom I'm the chief. The angel said to Joseph, "Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." That's why he came. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Who? "Ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the water and drink. I'm come to seek and to save the lost." My dear brethren and my dear friends, if there's one truth, one single truth established in this Bible, it is this: that salvation is for sinners. That Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners. That he's the sinner's Savior. That he came to redeem the lost. If there's one truth in this Scripture, it is not your sins that keep you from Christ. It's your righteousness. It's your sins that make you a candidate for salvation. It's the well. It's the sick who need the doctors. It's their disease that makes them a candidate for the medicine, for the healing. Isaiah 53 says, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. By his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all." Peter wrote, "Christ died, the just for the unjust." For whom did Christ die? The unjust. Paul said in Romans 5, he died for the ungodly. He said in Romans 5, "When we were yet sinners, God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Yet, this seems to be the one thing that the Pharisees could not understand. They just could not understand. These religious men, they were religious men. They were outwardly moral men. Inwardly, they were like any other men. But outwardly, they were very moral. They were devoted to their religious traditions. They were dedicated to their customs. They were separated to their laws and regulations. And yet Christ avoided them. He wouldn't have anything to do with them. He called them whited sepulchres. He called them vipers. He had all these harsh words for them who were clothed in their religious veneer. He avoided them and ate with publicans and sinners, and they could not understand that. Just couldn't do it. You see, their religion, like most religion, is of the outward variety. That's right. Their religion, like most religion, was of the outward variety. In other words, if you read Matthew 23, you'll read the charges that our Lord brought against these religious lost people with their outward veneer of religion and righteousness, while inside, he said, they're full of dead men's bones. He said to them, these are the charges he brought in Matthew 23. He said, you say and you do not. You say one thing, you do another. That's hypocrisy. You command people to do one thing. You put on them burdens that you won't bear. You do your works to be seen of men. You pray publicly. You don't do much praying privately. When you do a good work, you toot your horn and sound the trumpet and want everybody to know about it. When you have an experience with the Lord, or when you fast or pray, you tell everybody about it. You wrinkle up your face, and when you're in great spiritual conflict and fasting, instead of washing your face and combing your hair and appearing not to men to fast, you do your works to be seen of men. You call me Lord with your lips, and your hearts are far from me. Your hearts are on the world and the things of this world, but you talk about how dedicated you are to God with your mouth. He said you like to be called by religious titles, master and father and rabbi and bishop and doctor and all these things. And you clean up the outside of the cup. On the inside, you're like a whited sepulcher. You're full of dead men's bones. He said, I'll tell you something else about you. Matthew 23. Religion. Outward religion. And most of it is nothing but outward moral farce and hypocrisy. And he said, I'll tell you another thing about you. You brag on dead prophets, and you kill living prophets. You brag on the Moses and Abraham and Isaiah and the apostles and those fellows, and you deny the very thing that those men preached. And these men totally missed the person and work of Christ. And when our Lord sat here and talked to these sinners and publicans, it upset these men. And they didn't understand. And he told them why. He said, the well do not need a physician, but they that are sick. He's the Savior of sinners. He's not the Savior of good men. He's the Savior of sinners. Do you understand why the Father sent the Son into the world? Do you? Do I? Do we understand why the Father sent His Son into this world? Do we understand why the Son became a man, born under the law, born of a woman, born under the law, who was tempted and tried and tested in all points as we are, yet without sin? Do you know why He walked that road? Why He became a man in the flesh? Do you know why? Was it to call good people, religious people? Was it to put His approval on this religious farce that goes on in His name? Do you understand why the Son had to die on the cross? Why He suffered and agonized and in that ignominious, shameful death and died under the wrath of God Almighty? Do you understand why He laid in a grave for 3 days and three nights? Why He arose from that grave? Do you understand why, as our great high priest, He had to go into not the holy place made with hands, but into heaven itself with an atonement? Why the Son of God had to come into this world and die on a cross, and with His own blood go into the presence of God to make an atonement? Do you know why? Do you understand why the Son of God right now has to intercede for us? that we have to have a high priest, a mediator, an advocate, an intercessor. Paul said, who can condemn me? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, is risen again, who is also at the right hand of God, who even maketh intercession, ever liveth to make intercession for us. Oh, I tell you, do we understand that? The Pharisees didn't. The religious people, he was in the world, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, to his own temple, to his own people, to his own prophets, to his own law, to his own sacrifices, to his own holy place and mercy seat. They didn't know him. And here he is sitting here talking to people that are sinners that need him, and people that are sinners that need God's grace. And they said, what's he doing that for? That's why he came. That's why he came. That's why he died. That's why the atonement must be made. Atonement at one month. Reconciled. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Taking away the wrath. Taking away the enmity. Taking away the curse of the law. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the law to do them. But Christ hath delivered us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He's the sinner's Savior. Now, to help you and me to understand, better understand the mission of our Master, the Savior of sinners, I want you to listen while I read three scriptures, three short scriptures. Now, you listen, and listen carefully, three short scriptures. Matthew 8, verse 1 through 3. When Jesus was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper, an incurable leper, unclean leper, and fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus said to him, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. All right, here's the second one. Matthew 9, verse 20. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years. She came behind him and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. And the Lord said, woman, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Now here's the third one. Matthew 20, verse 30. As the Lord departed out of Jericho, great multitudes followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the wayside. When they heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, they cried out, saying, Jesus, have mercy on us, O thou son of David. Jesus, have mercy upon us, O thou son of David. And Jesus stood still, and he said, what will you that I should do for you? And they said, Lord, that our eyes may be open, that we may see. He touched them, and they received their sight. Now here's a leper. An incurable leper. Here's a woman bleeding to death whose blood was flowing out of her body. She was dying. Here were two blind men. What did they all have in common? What did they were from different walks of life, different ages, different sex, different backgrounds, but they had something in common. What did they have in common? Well, you say, they all heard of Jesus Christ. They knew who he was. That's right. They all called him by name. The leper said, Lord, if you will, you can make me whole. The blind men called him the son of David. They'd heard of him. This woman had heard of him. All right, secondly, they all believed he could do it, that he could do mighty works. The leper says that, if you will, you can make me whole. He believed that. The woman said, if I can, but that's real faith now, isn't it? Just touch his garment. I don't even have to get his eye. Just touch his garment. He made whole. The blind men said, we want to see. Has it ever been heard that a man restored the sight of a blind man? Nope. So they had that in common. They'd heard of Christ, and they knew he could do it. Thirdly, they came to him. Every one of them, they came to him. They didn't come to his disciples. They came to him. I caution you here now. They didn't come to the temple, to the church. They came to him. They didn't come to the altar. They came to him. They didn't come to his mother. They came to him. They didn't come to the law. They didn't turn over a new leaf. They came directly to him. To him. Nobody in between. To him. Fourthly, they also knew that the healing was by his will, not theirs. That's right. This leper said, Lord, if you will, you can make me whole. He asked the blind men, what do you want? They said, we want to see. Well, see. No. You got to make us see. It's by your will. We want to see. But it's by your will that makes us whole. But one thing, now I want you to listen to this. There are many things they had in common, but here's the one thing they had in common. One singular, important, simple thing. The thing that brought them to Christ. What was it that brought these people, all these people, to Jesus Christ? What was it? Their belief? Yes. No, here's the main thing. They needed him. They needed him. These Pharisees stood around and criticized him. He sat there eating with the publicans and sinners. These people, he was sitting to eat, and they came to him. They gathered around him. They gravitated to him. They crowded about him. The Pharisees got further away. These people needed him. The leper came because he needed him. The woman came because she needed him. The blind men were in darkness. They needed him. That's why they came. They needed him. Do you have any idea of the dreadfulness, the hopelessness, the despair of leprosy back then? This man needed Christ. Oh, how he needed Christ. And I'll tell you, the Bible calls sin leprosy. It's a leprosy of the soul. It's incurable. And that's what brings me to Christ, is my need. I'm a leper. I need him. Lord, if you will, you can make this leper whole, this outcast, this unclean person. He needed Christ. You need Christ if you're a sinner. The woman had a disease of blood, incurable. Her blood was bad. It was destroying her, her nature, her whole being. She needed Christ. Our nature's bad. We're bleeding to death. Death is certain. Death is sure. Judgment, eternity without God. We need a change. We need a new heart, new blood. We need a new nature. We need a new spirit. We need a new regeneration. These men were blind. They were walking in total darkness. Who can make the blind to see? Only Christ. Do you understand that? That's what brought them to Christ. And that's what he's telling these religious fellows. Why does your master eat with publicans and sinners? Because the well don't need a physician. Why do men not come to Christ? They don't need him. Why do women and young people not flee to Christ, seek the Lord, search the Scriptures, seek the kingdom of God, seek healing? They're not sick. They're not. What brings a man to the well? Thirst. What brings a man to the table? Hunger. What brings a man to the doctor? He hurts. I went to see my doctor this week. I don't go to the doctor very often, but I did go. Why did I go? I like my doctor, yes. I believe he's got great talent and ability, yes. But chiefly, I'll tell you why I went to see him. And I wouldn't have gone otherwise. I needed him. I hurt. I needed help. And that's why I went. And he helped me. In a short time, I found rest and comfort and healing. He helped me. I needed him. That's what brought me to him. That's what brought me to sit in the office and wait on him. And then patiently go in when my time came to see him and do what he told me to do because I needed him. You understand that? Now, if you ever, by God's grace, come to that point spiritually, when you're sick and you hurt, like this leper or this woman dying, are these blind men in darkness, and you need the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, then you'll come and you'll close your mouth and you'll patiently wait. And if he's pleased to see you and to help you, you'll just be mighty glad. Mighty, mighty glad. Lord, if you will, you can make me whole. The well don't need a doctor. And they don't frequent the doctor's office. The doctor doesn't even know them by name, and they don't know the doctor. But sick people know their doctor, and they love him and appreciate him. And they go to see him, and they're helped. And sick people need Christ, and they go to Christ. Christ means nothing to those who have not felt their woe. You see, a sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost hath made him so. That's right. Are you a sinner? You say, well, everybody's a sinner. I don't know about that. Ask them. A sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost hath made him so. The Pharisees said they weren't sinners. We be not sinners. We be not born in sin. That's what they said. Most people do not regard themselves to be sinners. I read one time about a preacher. He's preaching in a little country church one evening. And he closed his message, and he looked down on the front row at a gentleman that was sitting there on the front row, and he asked him this question. He said, my friend, do you believe that God sent the Lord Jesus Christ into the world to save good people or bad people? The man thought for a moment, and then he replied, as I suppose most people would reply. He said, well, I suppose, preacher, that he came into the world to take good people to heaven. And the preacher replied, then, my friend, what's to become of you and me? What's to become of you and me? You're not good, and you know it. I'm not good, and I know it. I tell you this. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, lost people. And if I can find one, I'm going to tell him the good news. Christ died for the ungodly. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You believe that? But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sin, quickened us together with Christ Jesus. Now, I've got a few more minutes, and I want to talk to you about something that's very, very, very important along this line. I want you to listen to me. Pull up a little closer and listen to me. Most preachers don't know what I'm talking about here. At least they don't ever mention it. Now, Jesus Christ, as far as a sinner like me and like you is concerned, Jesus Christ is the chief issue. He's the chief subject. He has the preeminence. He's the one great subject because of our one great need. He came to save sinners. Call his name Jesus. He'll save his people from their sins. I need him. You need him. You who are wise know you need him. You need Christ. You need the Redeemer. You need the blood to cleanse you. You need the righteousness to cover you. You need his holiness to sanctify you. You need Christ. You need him now. Every morning you wake up saying, Lord, keep me from sin. Every night you have to fall on your face and say, Lord, through the blood of Christ, cleanse me of my sins. You need him. But Jesus Christ, while he's all important to you and to me, because we need him, I'll tell you this, he's all important to me and you because God needs him too. God needs him. I need Christ, and God needs Christ. What do you mean, preacher, God needs Christ? Well, I know why I need him. Do you know why you need him? Yeah, I'm a sinner. I need Christ because I'm a sinner. You need Christ because you're a sinner. God needs Christ because God's holy. God's holy. And God Almighty, being holy, cannot receive you, the sinner, unless Christ does something for you and enables God to be just and justifier. You see what I'm saying? Now listen to me. God's law demands obedience, and he can't take you to heaven and disregard your disobedience. That's why Christ came down here and obeyed the law for you. And in Christ, you have an obedience with which God is satisfied. God's justice demands death. God's justice says the soul that sinneth, it'll surely die. And God Almighty cannot forgive us. He cannot set us free at the expense of His justice. So He sent Christ down here, the just, to die for the unjust, that He might bring us to God justly, that God might look on us and receive us, and His holiness and justice be honored. Romans 3:24 said, God set forth Jesus Christ to be a propitiation for sins, that He might be the just and justifier of them that believe on Christ. I need Christ because I'm a sinner. I broke the law. I'm the one that sinned. I'm the one that deserves to die. I'm the one that deserves to go to hell. I need a Savior. I need a righteousness. I need justice done for me in my stead. I need someone to pay my debt. My debt is heavy, too heavy for me to bear to pay. I need somebody to pay it. But Almighty God must have an atonement. He must have a sacrifice. He must have a payment. God can forgive sin only on the basis of that sin being satisfied and paid for by the blood of Christ Jesus. So He can take you to heaven and still be God. So you see, I need Him, and God needs Him. I need Jesus. And the holy law and the justice of God needs Christ too. He's essential. That's the reason He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. Christ, the sinner's Savior. Would you like to have this tape? Send $2. We'll mail it to you. I have two messages on this tape. One I brought last week on For the Sake of Love, and this one today on the Savior of Sinners from Matthew chapter 9, 10 through 13. Send $2. We'll mail it to you. Till next week, at the same time, God bless you, everyone.